Oh, my friend, have you ever found yourself in a situation where you wondered where your next dollar was going to come from, how you were going to be able to buy gas so that you could get to work, so that you could earn the money, or what you were going to do to replace the food that was all gone in the cupboards and in the refrigerator? Have you wondered how you were going to find the money to buy the medicine that you needed for your family? I know. I've been there. And I remember the verse that the Lord gave me. The young lions do lack and suffer want, but they that love the Lord shall not want any good thing. The verse I quoted was from Psalm 34, verse 10. And that psalm is connected with our lesson today. But let me tell you the story. Jack and I were missionaries in Mexico, and I got typhoid fever. And as a result of that, I had to take medicine, and then our family had to take medicine. But we ran out of money. I mean, there was food in the cupboards, but there was no money whatsoever to buy more food. And our support wasn't due for about 2 weeks. Christmas was coming. We had nothing in store for the children because we had spent our last money getting medicine for me because of my typhoid fever. And I remember crying out to the Lord because I had to have that money. I had to have $34. Now, this is years ago. This is like 36, 37 years ago. And I had to have that money for my family so they wouldn't be typhoid carriers. And I didn't know where it was going to come from. And I remember being troubled in my heart and crying out to God. And finally, I went in the bathroom. It was the only private place in our little house in Mexico. And I shut the door with my Bible and I put down the lid of the toilet and I sat there and I began to read. And I read Psalm 34, how the angel of the Lord encamps round about those that fear him. And finally, I got to verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer want. And I thought, yes, that's us. But those that love the Lord will not want, not lack any good thing. And I just said, Lord, that's it. I don't know how you're going to do it, but Lord, you're going to do it. You're going to supply. And I came out of that bathroom and I remember saying to Jack, honey, it's all right. Our boys were little. We had a brand new baby. It's all right, Jack. It's all right. God's going to take care of us. Do you want to know how he took care of us? Well, I'm going to tell you a little bit later, because what I want to do is I want to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 21. And I want us to look at David. Remember, David has fled from Saul. David has left Jonathan. They have said goodbye. They have kissed on each cheek, as is the custom and as happens when I go to Israel. And they have wept together and they have said, Mizpah, the Lord watch between me and you and our descendants forever. And they've departed. It says, then David came to Nob, to Ahimelech, the priest. And Ahimelech came trembling to meet David. And he said to him, why are you alone and no one's with you? And David said to Ahimelech, the priest, the king has commissioned me with a matter. And he has said to me, let no one know anything about the matter on which I'm sending you and on which I've commissioned you. And I have directed the young men to a certain place. I'm alone because I've sent the men away, and I'm here because I'm on a mission that I can't tell you about. Now, the king hadn't sent him, and so David is covering up. But David is covering up quite cleverly because the king has sent him. This king has commissioned him. Remember, he is anointed by God. And he knows he's going to be the next king. And yet right now he's running for his life. I'm sure that he is torn between the weakness of his flesh and the promises of God. And we're going to see how he's torn as we look at Psalm 34 later. But it says, now therefore, what do you have on hand? Give me 5 loaves of bread or whatever can be found. In other words, David was hungry. He was lacking bread, and he had no bread whatsoever. And the priest answered David and said, there's no ordinary bread on hand, but there is consecrated bread. If only the young men have kept themselves from women. In other words, you said you have men with you. I'm going to give you 5 loaves of bread. But those men, this is consecrated bread. Now, what did he mean? Well, this apparently is where the tabernacle was. The tabernacle was at Nob at that time, although the Ark of the Covenant wasn't there. And Elimelech was there, and he has just taken the bread off of the table of showbread, as we called it, and it's called the bread of God's presence. Because remember, Jesus is the bread of life. And he is the bread that came down from heaven. So we saw in Jesus the presence of God. Jesus says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. So it's a beautiful, beautiful picture here. And he says, if they've kept themselves from women. Now in Exodus chapter 19 in verse 14 and 15, and I'd like you to go there, but in Exodus chapter 19, and if you can't go there, at least remember these verses or put them in your study guide that you got by downloading it from preceptsforlife.com. That's preceptsforlife.com. I want you to know where to reach us. But in Exodus chapter 19, verse 14 and 15, now you're going to think I'm crazy, but hang on. It says, so Moses went down from the mountain to the people and consecrated the people because God is about to give them the Ten Commandments. And they washed their garments, and he said to the people, be ready for the third day. Do not go near a woman. In other words, you're not to have sexual relations with a woman. You're to keep yourself clean. You're consecrated. Well, when you go from there to Leviticus chapter 15, Leviticus chapter 15, verse 18, you say, is God saying that sex is dirty? No, God tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 that we're not to withhold ourselves from our mate. We're not to withhold ourselves from our wife or from our husband. Now, we are to withhold ourselves until marriage, so just remember that. But in Leviticus, then, in chapter 15, in verse 18, this is what he says. If a man lies with a woman so that there is a seminal emission, they shall both bathe in water and be unclean until evening. So what Ahimelech is about to do is he is about to give David the sacred bread from the holy place off of the temple now because he's replaced it with fresh bread, and he's about to give it to him. But he says, now look, you cannot have it if your men have been with women. And David says, no. Now watch what he says, because it's very important. In verse 5, David answered the priest and said to him, surely women have been kept from us as previously when I sent out, and the vessels of the young men were holy. And what is he saying? He's saying their bodies are holy. Though it was an ordinary journey, how much more than today will their vessels, will their bodies be holy because they are receiving this holy bread? So the priest gave him consecrated bread, for there was no bread there but the bread of the presence, which was removed from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place when it was taken away. So he's not taking it directly off of the table, which would be wrong. He's taken the bread that they have taken off. Now, the priest was required to eat that bread. The priest and his family ate that bread. It was not thrown away. They had to eat it. But what he's saying here is, okay, you need bread. I'll give it to you. You say, but that's wrong. But Jesus refers back to this incident. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus refers back to this incident. And Jesus uses it to show them, listen, that the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. And so he uses this illustration to show that holiness is a state of mind, and it's a state of being. It's not just a legalism that you're keeping. And that's what you and I need to understand. Because so many times what we think is, I don't drink, I don't smoke, I don't chew, and I don't go with boys that do or girls that do. And so we think, okay, then I'm holy because I have this list of do's and don'ts. But holiness goes all the way to the heart, beloved. And God says, be ye holy, even as I am holy. So the priest gave him the consecrated bread, for there was no bread there, but the bread of the presence, which was removed from before the Lord in order to put hot bread in its place when it was taken away. You've got it. You understand it. Now, one of the servants of Saul was there that day, detained before the Lord, and his name was Doeg the Edomite, the chief of Saul's shepherds. Now, you're going to find out that Doeg is a dog. I mean, he is a dog, and you're going to find out, and later on, you're not going to like him one bit, and I won't blame you, all right? But right now, we don't know anything more except that he was there, that he was an Edomite. He was not a Jewish man. He was from Edom. Edom was Esau's generation, or Esau's family, Esau's descendants. And remember, Jacob and Esau were the two brothers, the two sons of Isaac. And the blessing went to Jacob, not to Esau. And David said to Ahimelech, now, is there not a spear or sword or on hand? For I brought neither my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's matter was urgent. Then the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, behold, it is wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. Now, this is very, very important. We know that the temple is there. We know that it is set up. We know that the Ark of the Covenant is not there, because we know that the Ark of the Covenant is in another place right now. All right. But the temple is there. We know that the ephod is there. Now, the ephod was the garment that the priest wore that contained the breast piece. And we're going to see that later. I just want you to know the ephod was there. Behind the ephod, Ahimelech had wrapped up the sword of Goliath and had stored it there. You said, but I thought, because I heard the program, I'm so glad you heard the program, I thought, and I did my homework, I'm so proud of you for doing your homework, I thought that Goliath's sword was with David. Yes, David took it home. David put it in his tent, but apparently then David put it in the tent of the Lord, and he didn't keep it. And it's a good thing he didn't keep it, because he's going to need it now. Now, what is he going to need it for? Well, we'll talk about it right after the break. Welcome to Precept Ministries International. We're at our women's conference, and we have been studying Ready Today for what is coming tomorrow. And we have had a great, great time. We have had such incredible fellowship. But that fellowship has been around the Word of God. Because when you come here, what you do is you open the book. And we take you through a book of the Bible, or we take you through a topic. But you're looking at the Word of God. We have seminars to meet all your needs. But the fellowship that goes on around the tables, the prayer times, the singing, it's awesome. We wish that you were here. Why don't you come and join us at our next women's conference? Welcome back, beloved. Just as I was getting ready to start this segment, one of the cameramen said to me, don't forget to tell us about what happened in Mexico. I'm not going to forget to tell you, but first, I want us to look at this. He needed a sword. He needed bread and he needed a weapon because he was running away from Saul, and Saul wanted to kill him. And so the priest said to him, the sword of Goliath the Philistine. Now remember, you're marking Goliath. You're marking the Philistine, and he keeps showing up. So you want to mark it again with that brown box. He says, whom you killed in the valley of Elah, behold, it's wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If you would take it for yourself, take it, for there is no other except it here. Now, it would be logical for him to give him the sword because the sword really was won by David. And David said, there is none like it. Give it to me. Then David arose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, king of Gath. But the servants of Achish said to him, is this not David, the king of the land? Did they not sing of this one as they danced, saying, David has slain his thousands, and Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s? And David took these words to heart and greatly feared Achish, king of Gath. Now, that ought to ring a bell. I mean, if you're marking these geographical locations in your Bible and you're double underlining them in green like we teach you to do, then that ought to ring a bell. Because where was Goliath from? If you go back to 1 Samuel chapter 17, it was Goliath, or the Philistine, from Gath. I mean, David is in Philistine territory. I mean, that's where he's fled. Because that's where he feels like he can be safe. I mean, if he stays in Judah, someone's liable to turn him in. Someone's liable to tell Saul. So he's fled to Achish. But now, when they remember the song and everything, all of a sudden, David is afraid. So he begins to act like he's crazy. And as he acts like he's crazy, all of a sudden saliva is coming down out of his beard, and he's going to the city gates, and he's doing graffiti. I mean, it's graffiti of the times. And this is what happens. He disguised himself. He disguised his sanity before them and acted insanely in their hands. And he scribbled on the doors of the gate, and he let saliva run down into his beard. Then Achish said to his servant, behold, you see this man behaving as a madman? Why do you bring him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this one to act as the madman in my presence? Shall this one come into my house? So all of a sudden, David's little disguise worked. Get this man out of my house. And David is very glad to go. Look at chapter 22, verse 1. So David departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Now, I want to stop there for a minute because I want to show you something. David, during this time of going to Nob, of going to Ahimelech, and then fleeing and escaping to Achish, king of Gath, David wrote a psalm. Ding. Guess what psalm it was? Duh. It was Psalm 34. Go to it. And this is the psalm that the Lord gave to me on that day. And God brought deliverance. How did God bring deliverance? Well, I'm going to tell you the story. What happened was I just had peace in my heart. I knew that God had promised me that he was going to send the money when we needed it. And just the day before we needed it, the doorbell rang on our house, and I went to the door. Now, I am not proficient at languages. I have a hard time. I'm dyslexic. I have a hard time getting English together. I had a hard time learning to read. And by the way, if you're dyslexic, doing our precept studies really helps dyslexic people and people with learning disabilities. I mean, when they start doing our studies, I mean, they learn, and God just does it. It's just awesome. But anyway, I didn't speak Spanish very well. I mean, just, you know, hello, buenos dias. So I opened the door, buenos dias, the man, and he stood there in a brown uniform, and I thought, they've come to get me. they've come to take me away because we were there under a tourist visa. We had to go out of the country every 6 months. And I thought, they've come to arrest us for something. But then he handed me an envelope, and it was a money envelope. I mean, he had come to bring me money that God had laid upon a man's heart, a man's family, to give to us. It was so awesome. It was when he stood at the door and he handed me that, and I took it and I opened it up. Praise God, it was in English. And it said, in essence, have sold our dog, felt you needed this, and it was a money order for $50. I needed 34. And I had all that extra money. I had $16 left. $16 left for food and $16 left for Christmas presents. And you could get a lot more in those days than you can get in these days. What had God done? This couple was a poor couple. I mean, they were poor, but they raised Labrador retrievers. And they had a Labrador retriever give birth to puppies, and they sold this puppy for all of $50, and that $50 came to us. The young lions do lack and suffer want, but they that love the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Well, this is the psalm that David wrote. If you look at the beginning of the psalm, it says, a psalm of David when he feigned madness before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. And so when he feigned madness before Abimelech, and it is probably the title of the king of Achish, who drove him away, and he departed. And he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall be continually in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Don't you know that when that $50 came through, what I was doing was I was telling everyone, listen to what the Lord has done. Listen to what the Lord has done. Magnify the Lord. Praise the Lord with me. He's real. He's real. He hears. He answers prayer. He knows. He takes care of us. It says, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Now listen, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. David said, I didn't know what to do. I cried to the Lord, and he heard me, and he saved me out of all my troubles. Isn't that awesome? Now, it says, the angel of the Lord encamps round about those who fear him and rescues him. Oh, beloved, I don't know what you're going through today. I don't know if you don't have enough gas. There was a time when I didn't have gas to put in my money to buy gas, to put in my car to get to a job, because I had lost a job because of my witness for Jesus Christ. They told me I had to quit witnessing, and I said, I'll just quit. They said, we don't want you to quit. And I said, well, I have to quit. I have to quit because I can't stop witnessing. Beloved, what does God want you to know? God wants you to know this, that he is God and that he is going to take care of you. Read the rest of Psalm 34. Bathe in this psalm and know when it was written, and know this, that God provides your needs. His name is Jehovah Jireh, the Lord who provides. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Verse 8 says, how blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer want, but they that love the Lord shall not want any good thing. Oh, beloved, it is that time for our precept for life. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to take you to the rest of Psalm 34 so that you can get the precept for life. No, it's not because I don't trust you. I really believe that you're going to get out your Bible and that you're going to read Psalm 34 sometime, at least when you crawl in bed tonight. Just open it up and read it. But let me have that privilege for you right now, because here are his precepts for life. It says, who is the man who desires life and loves length of days that he may see good? I mean, don't we love life? And don't we love living it? And don't we desire days that allow us to see good? Who is that man that desires that? Well, he says, keep your tongue from evil. If you're going to be that man, if you're going to be that woman, then I want you to control your tongue. I want you to keep your tongue from evil. Now, David is writing this. And what you have to know and understand is David kept his tongue from evil. And at one time when his tongue got real evil, and we're going to see it as we go along, I mean, God held him in check through a woman. A woman held him in check on his tongue. And it says, keep your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. And you're going to see David even seeking peace and pursuing it. It says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. Oh, beloved, whatever you're going through, whatever you're lacking, whatever storm, whatever trial, whatever need there is, you need to call to the Lord. It says his ears are open to your cry. His ear is not deaf. It says in Isaiah that he cannot hear, and his hand is not short that he cannot rescue. Remember this. God is in a covenant with you if you belong to him. He's promised to supply all of your needs, but it is your job, your task to ask and to ask in faith and to know that his ears are open to your cry. Are evildoers coming against you? It says the face of the Lord is against evildoers to cut off their memory from the earth. The righteous cry and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Isn't this a wonderful precept for life? The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, and you have afflictions, and I have afflictions, and we will, but the Lord delivers them all, delivers all of us out of those afflictions. He delivers them from us. What do you need to do? Well, I didn't finish the psalm. You need to finish it yourself and get those precepts for life.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.